Hi, this is Angela Middleton, and welcome to my podcast called I Want to BA. The reason for this podcast is that there is a huge lack of careers advice in the UK, and I'm always asked by young people, by parents and by teachers, my views on improving careers advice, and particularly by parents, what should they say to their youngster who's leaving school. I think it is a wider subject. It's not just about what job do you want to do, but it is actually about how you want your life to be. And within that, what type of career you want to select. And that career can just be the first stepping stone. Nowadays, individuals have a whole portfolio of careers. The people that I've interviewed, even at the age of 30, have had four or five careers. Myself, I've had at least five different types of careers. So this podcast is about firstly talking about careers in general and careers advice, but secondly, bringing in individuals who have experienced careers in particular industries, hence the subject I Want to BA, and they can come and talk about the path that they took to actually get to where they are, and also talk about what it's like to actually do that job and have that career. So we'll be covering every type of career that we can think of in the UK, and it will be everything from architects to zoologists. So I'll look forward to comments, and we'll build things up as we go along, and hopefully it should be of great use to parents, to teachers and to young people. So today we have Alexandra Adey with us. Alex works for a company called Audioboom, and she is actually at the cutting edge of digital content management. At 29 years old, she has fantastic track record in this sector, and it started with her love of football and also her love of radio. Having left university, decided to see what opportunities she could take up as an intern. She perfectly understood that interns were not paid a lot of money, and she funded some of these work experience activities by working in a call centre over a period of 2 years, actually. So as a result of being able to take some of these intern opportunities, she ended up working on Wimbledon tennis highlights for Radio 4. She did work on two golf opens. She worked on the Ryder Cup. And so for someone who is so into sport, this was a great opportunity for her, and it really allowed her to hone her skills. Not only did she do her university degree, but she also did a master's. And the way that she did that, again, was to fund it herself by working in a variety of different work experience roles. So I think what we see with Alex is that it is possible to achieve the pinnacle of a career in a highly competitive industry, even if you have to fund it yourself. So Alex, it's really lovely to have you here with us today. Thank you so much for spending the time. You've got the most exciting career history for somebody that is only 29. So could you just give us a potted history of what you've done up to date, and then we'll talk about your current role?
Yeah, of course. So I have worked primarily in radio and audio, did a few TV bits as well, but I started off going right back to the beginning. I sort of worked out, I wanted to work in radio when I was doing my undergrad degree at the University of Lancaster. So I did English Lit there, and I sort of in my mind kind of had formulated a plan of being a journalist, but being a print journalist is hard work, mm-hmm. I found out. So I did a lot of student radio. Lancaster had a really good student radio station, so I sort of mucked in there a bit and sort of thought, well, maybe this will be a career. And then I left Lancaster and moved home for a couple of years and worked in a call centre. Did a lot of work experience spots on like Absolute Radio and Global, so LBC and places like that. Mm-hmm. And thought, yeah, this is what I want to do for a career. And I applied to get a place on the master's course at Goldsmiths, the radio course there. So I eventually got a spot there, right. Moved to London, all bright-eyed and fresh-faced. And did a year there, and it was the best year of my life. I had such a good time. And I was really lucky to get an internship straight off the back of that at a company called IMG, yeah. They do a lot of different things as a company. One of their kind of main things is as a sports media company, and they've got a little radio department based in London. And I spent 2 weeks at Wimbledon at the tennis championships, and then they offered me some work on a couple of their other productions as a freelance sort of runner, assistant producer, cutting up clips on their Champions League radio coverage and podcast. And also at that point they produced a podcast for the Premier League as well, so I'd go in, cut press conference clips for them, make tea. I did that for a season, and then I got a job at BT Sport, mm-hmm. or a company that worked on behalf of BT Sport, and this is just when the TV channel was launching. So I was working for their broadcast services team, which basically meant that we were sort of in charge of what happened after the programme was made to put it kind of simply, we sort of made sure that everything looked and sounded okay, and it played out at the right time, and the adverts played out.
And what sorts of sports were you covering then?
Everything you could possibly imagine.
You're a big football fan, aren't you?
Huge football fan.
Is there someone in particular that you...
Yeah, I'm a Walsall fan.
Okay.
For my sins. So I've watched football ever since I was five. My dad took me to my first match when I was five.
Right.
So I didn't work directly for BT Sport. I worked for a company called Red Bee Media, and they looked after a lot of other bits as well. So it was a really cool kind of cross-section of a lot of things that were going on.
And you were doing clips for the Ryder Cup as well, weren't you, for golf?
That was my next job.
Tell us about that.
When I was at BT Sport for 6 months, and then IMG let me know that they were looking for an assistant producer in their radio department and asked me if I'd apply, and I applied and I got the job. So I spent 2 years there, and that was a lot of what I was doing before when I was freelancing there. So working on their football coverage and cutting clips again. And we also worked on a lot of golf. So a weekly golf podcast for the European Tour, and then working on events. So did a Ryder Cup, did a couple of Opens.
So it sounds great, exciting, glamorous, but it sounds as well that you've learned a huge amount.
So much. Mm. So much. It was one of those proper all hands to the pump jobs.
Yeah.
Everyone just mucked in. It's a very small team using a lot of freelancers, but everyone knew what they were doing and everyone got on, and we made some really, really good content there and like won awards, and it was a really, really lovely company to work for.
And then you moved again?
Moved to Audioboom, yeah.
Okay, so tell us about that. That's your current job, isn't it?
It's my current job. So I'm currently the UK digital content manager at Audioboom. So we worked with, I've always loved podcasts ever since I sort of got an interest in radio and thought it would be a feasible career option for me. And I worked on a few podcasts when I was at IMG. I was freelancing and sort of working on a couple of sport-based podcasts primarily. And we'd worked with Audioboom at Wimbledon. So we were uploading podcasts to direct to that service. So I got to know a couple of the people that worked here, and I spotted a sport job came up here.
Yeah.
And I'd spent 2 years at IMG and sort of thought, I've kind of plateaued. I wasn't really going to get any further there. So applied for the job at Audioboom and was lucky enough to get it.
Fantastic.
So I started off looking primarily after sport content. So speaking to football clubs and organisations and podcasters, bringing on new content to the platform and working with them to make their content more accessible and more listenable, coming up with new ideas for content. And now I look after a bit of everything. So not just sport, comedy, entertainment, which is really nice to kind of dip my toe into other waters.
Yes.
So I kind of do a bit of everything, really. Looking after podcasters, bringing on new content, helping with ideas for making original content. Yeah, making sure they're all happy. So I'm sort of an account manager now, I'd say.
Sounds great. And it sounds that, obviously, you know, you were doing work for a large company, but since you've come into this smaller company, that you've got a lot of variety and maybe a bigger fish in a smaller pool working for Audioboom. But before we sort of delve into more detail of your current role, there are a few things I wanted to pick up on your history. I mean, firstly, it's a very, very competitive market.
Very.
And yet, you know, you've managed to achieve this this internship with one of the biggest sports marketing agencies in the country. Mm-hmm. So what would you put that down to?
I used to say that I was really lucky to get that internship. And I was, because the course that I did had a link with that company. So we were put forward for that opportunity. And I remember having a conversation with a sound op that we used to work with. And I mentioned I was really lucky to get the opportunity. He was like, you were, but you got asked back.
Right. And that's precisely the difference, isn't it? And
completely.
I think what that shows is that it's so well worth doing an internship, because it gives you an opportunity to prove yourself and not just pick up skills. But if you can leave that lasting impression
completely
when a new role comes up, then, you know, you can be invited in and you can actually bypass some of the more rigorous, you know, sort of recruitment processes. And you're a living example of that, aren't you?
I think so. And I think just working hard at every opportunity that you're given is important, and making the most of it, especially in a world like media. And that's not just radio or podcasting or even sports media, which is incredibly competitive. Mm. I think it's just media in general. If you don't want to do that because it's such a competitive thing, there will always be someone there snapping at your heels.
Yeah.
So making sure that you are nice. Mm-hmm. Nice is such a glib word and I don't like using it, but I think it's just, it's kind of a it's a given. Making a good cup of tea goes a long way.
Yeah.
Doing little things that people remember you by, like, so I used to bake and I used to take in our little treats when I was was working on shows, and just learning what you're doing as well, kind of absorbing yourself in it.
So internships, although you can suffer financial hardship, it's not forever, is it?
No, not at all.
And what you've demonstrated is it is a super stepping stone to getting those dream jobs.
Completely, completely. And I would highly recommend, if you're presented with the opportunity to do one, I mean, I think the main worry for most people is a financial one. And I suppose if you do have the support and you are able to do it, in my opinion, it's a no-brainer. But I know that, I think media as well, the experience that I've had with doing work experience placements is that you don't even get paid expenses a lot of the time. So if you're in a position where you can't afford it, you're being eliminated from having that opportunity through no fault of your own.
And I think sometimes it's perception, because, you know, you just mentioned briefly there that, you know, you were on a friend's floor, you know, you had hardly any money at all, and yet somehow you made it work. And so the message there, I suppose, is that if you really want it bad enough, you can make it happen.
Yeah, completely.
So tell us a bit more about your current role. You know, have you got a typical week? What sort of structure is there? What hours do you work? Those types of things.
So I'm the UK Digital Content Manager, which sounds dead flash.
Yes, fantastic.
So hours are great. It's kind of standard 10 to 6, really. But
10 to 6?
10 to 6.
Right, it's quite a late start.
Yeah, which is great. Because I'm not a morning person, as you can tell by the cup of coffee that I'm clutching.
Great. Yeah,
So that's great. And I'd kind of do a bit of everything, kind of primarily an account manager for our podcasters. So I look after our podcasts, make sure that they're okay, make sure that their content's being distributed across as many platforms as possible, making sure that we're getting as many listeners as we can do, and even to more kind of logistical and technical problems, so giving advice on uploading, best practice, if people need any studio space and we can help them out with that. Production work as well, so I'll look after people who are recording in our studios here, bringing on new content acquisition.
So are you always in the office, or are you in and out?
In and out. So I'm out and about. So this week I've been kind of in the office most of the time. A couple of weeks ago, I think I was out of the office pretty much every day at meetings.
Yeah.
So a lot of what I do will be going out, meeting potential content partners or companies that we might be able to work with.
So it seems like it's a nice mix of sort of acquiring content, helping to create content, as well as producing. And is that what you expected in this role?
Yeah, sort of. So when I first applied for it, I thought it'd be a lot more production based. And it was, like, I got to do bits of that. But what's been really nice is to get a completely new skill set.
Yeah.
Because account management is something that is so applicable to so many other bits of not just the media world, but
every world, really. Yeah. I mean, a customer is king,
exactly,
in the end. So what's the best bits about the role, and what's the biggest challenges, shall we say?
I think the best bit about the role is that I get to listen to podcasts. I get to listen to new podcasts all the time.
Yeah.
And I've always loved radio and audio, and just to sit with my headphones on and listen to something new is great. And working with new podcasters and seeing their content become successful is brilliant. Challenges, I suppose, because podcasting is such a new world, comparatively, I think probably the challenges are for some of our podcasts that don't have as big a profile, don't get as many listens. It's the challenges then kind of making it worth our while revenue-wise. Because it's such a new company and new business comparatively.
And where do you see, what's the next move for you? Where would you like your career to go? Or are there lots of options?
Oh, good question. Lots of options, I hope.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing that I've managed to sort of, I had such a fixed idea in my mind when I first went into radio that I was going to be a radio producer. And I do that now, and that's great, and I love it. But I also have a few of the strings to my bow as well.
Yes.
I don't really know. I'd like to stay in the audio podcast radio world for as long as possible. But it's such a changing space that I think hopefully I've built up a few of the skills that if I had to go and do something else, I could do.
Yeah.
But I really enjoy working at Audio Boom. It's a great company to work for, and it's quite nice to be a part of a very new thing.
Yes.
To sort of shape it, see what's going to happen.
Great to be at the forefront of something. Yeah,
completely.
In a quite traditional industry now, media, isn't it?
Yeah.
We've got listeners here who are sort of just finishing school, mm-hmm. college, and some just finishing university. If we look at the school leavers, you know, they may be sitting there thinking they're keen on a media career, they're not sure whether to go to university, mm-hmm. or indeed they don't want to go to university. What would you say to them in terms of tips for starting out?
I think, speaking from an audio perspective, it's very easy to make your own content nowadays. So the first thing I would do is say, set yourself up an account on an audio hosting platform, preferably Audioboom, obviously.
Yes.
And it's so easy to make content. So smartphones nowadays, the microphones in those are broadcast quality. You can record right. stuff in there and make stuff. You can download free software. Audacity is probably the best example of that. And just familiarise yourself with that. It's the same with video editing, I suppose. I can't video edit. It's not a skill I have, yeah. but learning how to do that, familiarising yourself with it and making your own stuff. Mm. It's so easy to do that nowadays, and it's so easy to kind of broadcast yourself.
So that would be good to broadcast yourself as well as yeah. start to, you know, improve your talents.
Completely. Build yeah. a portfolio of content as well.
Right, okay.
And that's before I think you even have to think about whether you want to go to uni. I went to Lancaster and I did English Lit, and I've not done anything connected to English Lit, but I had the best time.
Yes.
And made some friends who I'll have for life. And I loved living, it was like first time you live away from home. And yes. I was lucky enough that I could go to university. And I think that the school I went to, it was very much like the build, like you were going to go to university. Yeah. That's where you're going to go. Like looking back on it now, I think to get where I am, I'm not entirely convinced that I would have had to go to university to do right. that. So I don't think it's a be-all and end-all for a media career at all. And I think nowadays, because it's so easy to do your own stuff and there's so many other options open to you as opposed to just getting 2 weeks work experience at a BBC local radio station mm-hmm. or something like that, there are so many other ways of doing it that I'm not entirely convinced that university is necessary for a career in media.
Okay.
Or certainly not like a 3-year undergraduate degree.
Mm. So a lot of youngsters would have done GCSEs, yeah. A-levels, BTECs in media, things mm-hmm. like that. So they would have had that grounding. So your advice would be, you know, either go to university or don't, but don't do it necessarily for no. career reasons
no.
and focus more on building your own portfolio.
Completely. I think professional experience is very important
yeah.
and starting to make contacts. There's really good networks of podcasters, for example, like on Facebook and Twitter, and sort of familiarising yourself with those worlds. And obviously it's not just exclusive to podcasts, but getting professional experience and listening or watching or reading as much content as you can.
And trying to do work experience with
yeah.
some of these organisations.
Completely.
Even if it's just a couple of weeks.
Even if it's just shadowing someone for a day. So social media is so important as well. I probably should have said that before. If
right.
you know how to do all of the, if you can Snapchat and Instagram and do all of those things, I just sounded very old then. But if you can do all that, it's like, because nowadays that's how media operates. It's so
yes.
social media focused. If you can demonstrate that you've got a good understanding of how it works, how content goes viral and that kind of thing, that's invaluable. And when you look at job adverts now, they'll always say for media, digital media especially, can you do Snapchat? Can you do Instagram? Can you do you know how Twitter and Facebook, how content goes viral? Like, that's very important.
Okay. What about, you know, vlogs and blogs and things like that? Do you think people ought to do that?
Yeah. WordPress is quite an important one to know because I think a lot of websites use that. I mean, I'm not very technically minded, but yeah, knowing how to do blogs, HTML is very important. If you want to do more of the kind of web-based content, having a familiarity with how platforms work is very important because that's how media moves now. It's all digital based. Mm.
Just summarising really your advice to go online, look at podcasters and organisations which are involved in that type of business.
Completely.
Either on Twitter or on Facebook, looking at the groups, expressing your interest, trying to get work experience, even if it's
yeah.
just half a day, and then just building up that type of repertoire.
Completely.
Is going to lead you eventually to that first opportunity.
Yeah.
And then being mindful of the fact that, you know, you're not going to be paid heaps of money at the beginning.
It
is an industry that sort of operates internships quite frequently as
yeah.
a routine, and being prepared for a bit of that financial hardship to start off with.
Yeah.
But it sounds to me that, you know, having done that, you've then been able to pretty quickly move well, you know, through a large corporate, a big sort of sports agency, and then into a very well respected sort of forerunner, really, of the podcast world. So
yeah, you summed that up
pretty
really good.
Yeah, it's great. Well, thanks so much, Alex, for coming in. It's really been useful. And what you've been able to create for us here is a really nice, clear roadmap of how to achieve a great career in media. So thank you very much. And just to give you a plug for your current company, Audio Boom, obviously, if anybody is listening and they've decided that they want to create a podcast and they want to have it uploaded on iTunes, available for everybody to download, then they can come to an organisation such as yours, Audio Boom. They can ask for you and you can at least sort of show them the way and maybe even offer them some services via Audio Boom as well.
Yeah, of course. My email address is alex@audioboom.com. So if anyone wants to give me a shout on that, they're more than welcome to.
That's fantastic. Thank you very much.
Thank you.